evil, deny, truth, affirm, give, give, give. This is the formula for success in spiritual advancement. Don't worry about healing anything, because healing comes automatically as we spiritually advance. And of course, that all begins and ends with our consciousness. If we ignore any one of those three elements, we have a very high probability of failure. I know people that study hours a day. They don't give a dime to anybody for anything. Oh, they might throw a dime or a quarter to someone that is in a total dilapidated state that's out on the street begging for money. They could be worth millions. And they probably waste money all the time on personal pleasures. But to give someone else that is in desperate need what they need is another story. Because the ego of the human brain is making them unaware of what they're not doing. Hence in the Bible it says, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." What that really means is, I must forgive myself and make a change by transforming my thought, speech, and action to include the golden rule as a way of life. That's what it really means. Otherwise, it has no meaning at all. God doesn't listen to a reflection. Does a painting listen to the painter? Does it have ears? Does the music listen to the one that is performing the music? I don't think so. God is not a human with ears that has nothing better to do than to listen to people that are pleading for instant miracles. Mary Baker Eddy defines God, which no one up to her time was able to do. And it took her years to come up with the final definition of God. But it is very simple. She defines it in two different places in a very simplistic, short sentence. The first one is on page 465, which is in the chapter Recapitulation, which is a summary of chapters 1 through 13. And Recapitulation is chapter 14. It says, God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. On page 587 in the glossary, she defines God with emphasis on a few different words, but it's all inclusive in the first definition. She says, God is the great I am, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving, and eternal. Principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, love. all substance, intelligence. And on the same page, she defines the word G-O-O-D, good. Good is defined as God, spirit, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, omniaction. Where in any of those parts of the definitions does it say or imply that God is a human, such as Jesus? There's no clue. It talks about qualities. The first one says incorporeal. So God is not a body that you can touch and feel or ever could see. Incorporeal, divine. Well, that's certainly the opposite of material. How about supreme? It's above everything else. And infinite. Was Jesus infinite? I don't think so. In fact, he said he wasn't even good. When the Pharisees asked him, what is the greatest commandment? They said, dear good master. He said, why call me good? There's only one good, and that is God. It's not me. He made it very clear it wasn't him. There's only one good, and that is God. Why call me good? In other words, I'm not God. I'm not good. He was good by reflection, but he wasn't good itself. Just like he was not mind itself, or spirit, or soul, or principle, or life, or truth, or love. He was a great example of all of those, but he wasn't the quality itself. He was a reflection. As it says in Genesis chapter 1, it says, God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. And the next verse says, and God made man in his image and after his likeness. So we had to open up our consciousness. God did it anyway, but whether or not we experience it depends on our concept of what we're occupying our thought with. Are we occupying it with spiritual qualities? Are we living the golden rule? Or are we thinking about God being a human and they killed him, so I'm just going to wear a piece of jewelry around my neck that reminds me that he's dead. Some of them are in color, especially pictures. They show blood coming out of his head from the thorns that was the crown that they put on his head. What a gory picture. Someone who overcame the belief of death by resurrection and then overcame the total belief of life, truth, and intelligence in matter by ascension. And what do almost every church and individual that claims themselves to be a Christian, what do they think of as Jesus? A man hanging on a cross with nails in his palms and his head hanging down. What a pathetic viewpoint. Well, Dr. Fluno, made it very clear that we shouldn't criticize. I'm only stating this to bring out the fact that Mary Baker Eddy was the first one and the only one to this day that has ever come up with a sensible, valid, provable, demonstrable definition of God. Physicists looked for years trying to solve the mysteries of the universe. What is a power that is holding all of these things in the sky in their place? And what started them rotating one around another? What started Earth rotating around itself on its own axis, and then the whole thing rotating around the sun every 24 hours? Something had to get it started. Maybe there is something in the air that keeps it going called gravity. But there had to be something started. How about the chicken, the first chicken? How did it get started? Couldn't have been from an egg, because someone had to start the egg. Things that physicists and other people, whether they were theologians or philosophers or whatever their title was, or the topic that they tried to study to find out the mysteries of the universe, were all barking up the wrong tree. Einstein figured it out. Not many years before he passed out of life on this existence. He said a couple of very short things that revealed where his thought was. He said, "Blessed art thou, for everything that is in this book." Imagine a woman discover this 80 years ago. He said, if you practice the science that is in this book systematically and scientifically, you will be able to demonstrate its healing power. He had a friend whose last name was Underwood. He was on the Atomic Energy Commission. It was around World War II time when they were trying to figure out how to make the atom bomb. Maybe before that, because they used it in World War II against Japan. And everybody on the Atomic Energy Commission, and Einstein was not a part of the group. He was probably too smart for that, thinking that they were figuring out how to, you know, wipe out themselves, you know, all civilization. But Dr. Underwood, his friend, who was a physicist, was the only one that survived the Atomic Energy Commission. Everyone else expired from radiation. So Dr. Underwood asked him, "How is it that you're the only one that survived?" He said, "I'm a student of the works and the science of Mary Baker Eddy." Well, Einstein was dabbling around with it before that. And then when he saw it really worked, he got in with both feet. He attended the church wherever he was. He visited and stayed in their reading rooms to study in private, to really take it in a private, quiet atmosphere. And then eventually made those statements. He was talking about Mary Baker Eddy. "Blessed art thou." That's Mary Baker Eddy. The book, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy. All that is in this book. All that is. He had been studying his whole life. And he said, "It's all right here." And then he said, "She figured this out 80 years before I did." And he spent his life. You know, he was recognized worldwide for being one of the brightest physicists that ever lived. His famous formula for relativity, E equal MC squared. Everybody respected him for it. And what he did was respect someone else that had discovered everything there was to discover about the universe 80 years prior. On page 146, Mary Baker Eddy gives us a very important statement. She says, divine metaphysics is now reduced to a system, to a form comprehensible by and adapted to the thought of the age in which we live. This system enables the learner to demonstrate the divine principle upon which Jesus' healing was based, and the sacred rules for its present application to the cure of disease. Look it up. Page 146, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. It's now reduced to a system. The system is in the textbook. But just like the Bible, it is not very well organized in many respects. It has a lot of personal opinion in there. And we have to dig to find the truth. If we're mulling around in chapter 2 of Genesis, we don't find much truth. But if we read sincerely chapter 1 of Genesis, it stares us right in the face. And at the end of it, it says, and everything that God made is very good. 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 Not evil. Not fallible. Not a foundation built on sand. It is very good. And what does it say substance is? Spirit. Spirit. Who did God give dominion to over the whole earth? Man. Man. Are we even exercising dominion over ourself? Our own thought, speech, and action? We can't be concerned about someone else. They have to work out their own salvation. Unless they come to us for some assistance, then we better know what we're doing. Because it begins inside our own consciousness. I was very good friends with an expert practitioner for some 20 years before she left this earth. And she said she has to spend up to 30 minutes when she gets a phone call of someone seeking her help, of clearing her own consciousness about what they spent the whole time in the phone call doing, telling her all of their woes, all of their problems. So she had to clean that out before she'd even get started on solving the problem. Most people don't understand how important that is. The title to this recording is Deny Evil and Affirm Truth and Give Until Healing is complete. How much are you giving? If you make $1 million a year, are you giving $100,000? If you're making $1,000 a month, are you giving $100? If you make $100 a month, are you giving $10? If you're a billionaire, have you given away 10% of it? If you're a company, are you giving away 10% of the assets or the profits before or after taxes? Measure it any way you want to. Are you doing anything to help all humanity? Or are you like one of the wealthiest foundations on planet Earth that is only has a foundation for the purpose of controlling the population? Does evil after evil after evil. Nothing good has ever been done. Except they've worked to evade paying their fair share of taxes on the enormous profits that they've stolen from their customers. Yes, I say that because the very product that they produced was stolen from their competitor, as was the product of the biggest search engine and the product of the biggest social media and the next biggest social media. Yeah, they all started with stolen formulas and software and algorithms. The guy that invented them, he's had a lawsuit filed years and years ago, but of course, the judicial system is so corrupt, it can't even get off the ground. But that's all in the process of coming to a screeching halt. And we have had on our website very clear evidence that we have proven and shown so that people can wake up. And the purpose of this recording is not for this topic, but I will just mention that President Trump has been wearing a ball cap that on the side, each side, it says 45-47. Now, if you know anything about mathematics, a dash connecting two numbers means through. So 45-47 means 45, 46, and 47. 45 ended in January 2021. 46 began that very same day, and it ends in January 2025, which is a couple of months from now, today being October 25. And that period goes through January 2028. So in other words, there's not going to be an election. Trump is already determined to be the 47th president of the United States. Why? He's made it very clear. And there's a very bright fellow by the name of Derek Johnson who has a channel on the social media and website that is called Rattletrap 1776, named for the year of the of America, 1776. And he explains it with all the laws and rules and so forth that are on the books, that are the official governing principle of our government. Everything is according with laws and orders that are already passed by Congress. Much of it years and years ago. And it states that in January 2021, instead of Trump just walking out of the White House and handing it over to a fake president, that he handed it over to the military. And the military has been the number one in control since January 2021. And it will stay in control until Trump executes the document that says that I'm now taking it back. No one can do it except Trump. He's the one that has the authority to do it. And once he put it into the hands of the military, nobody can do anything about it. That's why Biden has not been able to close down Gitmo, which is the institution down there in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, where they send the bad guys. And also they send them other places. Over to Guam, there's one called Camp Blaz. And we have other places scattered around. Yeah, Trump has been CIC, Commander-in-Chief. Never left. So he will be in for three terms already. And that's why he's got that on his ball cap. They tore his home, his estate, one of the most beautiful properties in the world, apart trying to find the nuclear codes. They thought, sure, he had them in one of his safes there. Well, he's too smart for that. He gave it to the military. The Marine Corps has had it since January 2021. They kidnapped the commandant of the Marine Corps. Darn near killed him to get the codes from him. He didn't give it to him. He didn't give it to him. He's a tough Marine. 3-star general. Or maybe he was a 4-star. Anyway, he was the top dog in the U.S. Marine Corps. They darn near killed him. They maimed him. In fact, they were scheduled to kill him the next day. And unfortunately, a whistleblower called the Marine Corps and said, your general is over at this and this location. So they got over there and they killed all the people that were guarding him and had been abusing him, trying to kill him, and brought him home and nursed him back to health. And they elected a new commandant. And he retired. And he's working for Trump at Trump's estate in Florida, Mar-a-Lago. So yeah, they tore Mar-a-Lago apart. This is the FBI. Corrupt from beginning to end. They tore it apart trying to get the nuclear codes. Because they want to have a nuclear war. They're really frustrated because they cannot start a nuclear war against Russia. That'd be the most stupid thing they could do. Russia has more nuclear weapons than anyone. And they got the smartest president, equal or next to President Trump. He's been extremely patient, President Putin. Because they've done everything in the world to violate agreements that they signed back in 2014, called the Minsk Agreement. That was between NATO and Ukraine and Russia. But they totally violate them. Imagine if Russia was our enemy, which they're not, but suppose they were our enemy, our worst enemy, and had all their troops in Mexico on the border. Next to our border. What would we think about it? Yeah, we probably would have bombed him out a long time ago. Well, Putin didn't do that. He tried to prevent war. He waited and he waited and he waited from 2014 to 2022 before he did anything. And that's why he went into, that's one of the reasons he went into Ukraine. Because they were infringing on the territory. They'd already taken some of the area of Ukraine, which was supposed to belong to Russia, and it is all filled with Russians who speak the Russian language and not Ukraine language. And they go to the Russian churches. So he was patient and patient and patient, probably expecting Trump to do something about getting back publicly visible about being in control. Because he and Trump have had many conversations over the last 3.5-4 years. And this is all public information. We've been following it since day one. But the primary reason where Putin finally blew his stack and said, we've got to go in there, was because Ukraine is the most corrupt little country in the world. The United States is the most corrupt big country. And Ukraine is the capital of child abuse in every way possible. Pedophilia, Satanism, slavery, child slavery, you name it. That's also the center of the bioweapons of planet Earth. It's called the pandemic. Everything evil, gun running, you name it, it's the center and the biggest money laundering operation of the U.S. tax dollars. We send that, the military says we have sent about $2 trillion over there. Now, Congress only admits to sending, I don't know, 40 or 50 billion. But we've sent $2 trillion. It's all money laundering. The CIA, the FBI, FEMA, DHS, Department of Homeland Security, they all are involved in this money laundering. The Department of Treasury, Janet Yellen, they finally caught her with a bunch of stuff she was doing wrong that was treason, and she's been executed. As has the Secretary of Defense, Austin, and the Secretary of State, Blinken, they've been executed. Many other people at the top, Fauci, the head of CDC, you know, Center for Disease Control, he's been executed. All of this is public information, but people don't pay any attention to it. We have some of it on our website. Just the other day, they arrested the one that was in charge of FEMA Risk Control Assessment Director. They haven't gotten the FEMA director, which is Moriokas, something like that. Anyway, they haven't gotten him because he knew he was going to be executed, so he took off, and he's the last that we know is that he's living in the Philippines. So apparently Trump hasn't felt like it's time to do it because he could get anything done that he needs to get done, but he's the master of war, the master of negotiation, and the master of multi-level chess. So he knows the right time to do the right things. And if you do the right thing at the wrong time, it's not the right thing. So being a master of chess, everything has to fit into the puzzle at the right time in the right place. So anyway, he has felt that it hasn't been the right time in the right place, so he didn't do it yet. And the same reason he hasn't gotten rid of the actors that are playing Harris and Biden. But anyway, they have taken in about 10,000 people that have filled up Gitmo and Camp Blaz out there in Guam. And everything will be exposed at the right time. And I think it appears that things are going to come to a head here in the next few days because the election is November 5. And the only reason that they are acting like there's an election is because they are getting, it's a sting operation to get more and more people caught for committing treason. So that's the whole operation of the election. It's not to find out who goes in office, because that's already predetermined. Because we are under what they call a wartime president, and the laws and regulations and everything that tells what is supposed to happen and how it's supposed to unfold is already laws and orders that are on the books. It's been there for several years. And there's nothing in Biden's name because he has never had any authority to do anything. And the actor, they have six different actors, but the primary one is Arthur Roberts. And he's been in there for, I don't know, 3-4 years. But he signs stuff, but it means nothing because he doesn't have any authority to do anything. Same with Congress. They pass rules, but it doesn't mean anything because it was a fake election. Carrie Lake won by a landslide, the governor of Arizona, but she's not in there because they lie, cheat, and steal. And so she decided to run for the Senate. But she's really the official government governor. She won it. But anyway, that's true with so many of them. The governor of Michigan has been executed. The governor of California, Gavin Newsom. Pelosi has been executed. Two Supreme Court justices have been executed. And the third one was taken in custody. Amy Comey Barrett, I guess it is. She's at Gitmo. She wore an anklet thing around her ankle with a tracking device on it for like 3 years. And she and Trump made a deal and she broke it. She broke the deal. And she voted against America. And he got tired of it. So they arrested her and she's down at Gitmo. Oh, cloning factories is another thing that Ukraine is the world leader on. And that's what they use. They use clones. They're not real people. They don't have all their parts, all their body parts. You know, if you stripped them down and did an examination like a doctor does, you'd see that they're missing a few things. some important parts that they need if they were real people. And if you shot them with a gun, they would melt like a, you know, like an ice cream or a popsicle on a hot day. So, anyway, all of these things are going to be presented, but you have to work with the brain very slowly because it has this enormous ego. It does not want to admit that it ever made a mistake. So you have to awaken it slowly. And you have to give it the same information, repeat, 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 repeat. And finally it says, oh, well, this must be true. Okay, well, I will accept it now. But that's after you've beat yourself to death trying to be patient with it. Okay, so getting back to the topic. Mary Baker Eddy says we have to uncover the error and deny its power, that it has any power, and to affirm the exact truth that reverses it. And one of our geniuses on our website, by the name of Frederick L. Rawson, Rawson, he was truly a genius. He discovered how to go back in time and produce the healing. Digest that for a minute. No one's ever done that. Exactly. I mean, when you heal someone from the dead, you're doing that in a sense because you're saying, okay, the death was not real, so I'm going to bring them back to the way they were before they went through the death experience. So that, in a sense, is going back in time a few moments or a few hours, or, you know, in the case of Lazarus, Jesus went back 3 or 4 days. I think they said he'd been dead 3 or 4 days. So there was some going back in time a little bit, but he really discovered how to do it. And there's no limit on how far back in time you go. So anyway, he also wrote an encyclopedia that we here at the Institute call the A to Z Encyclopedia, because it's in alphabetic order of 1,315 different problems and the exact solution. See, that's what Mary Baker Eddy says. You have to find the error, and then you have to reverse the error with the exact truth. And that's exactly what this encyclopedia is. Exactly. And he demonstrated this going back in time 500 times. He's very modest, but I'm sure he has healed everything that was ever presented to him. Everything. He and Mr. Spalding, who's also on our website, we're looking out a window. This was 100 years ago, or 110 years ago, when before Henry Ford got a lot of trucks on the road. And there was a man driving a cart full of rocks. You know, had an animal pulling it. And the man, the driver, felt somehow there was a problem with the tailgate. So he stopped the animal and went back to examine it. When he was back there behind the wooden cart full of rocks, some noise or something alarmed the animal, and he raised up, which dumped the whole load of rocks on the man, the driver. And as I mentioned, Frederick L. Rothen and his friend, Mr. Spaulding, were looking out the window. And when Mr. Spaulding saw it, Mr. Rossin saw it, he said a few words. And obviously had a very exact understanding of what those words meant. And a conviction. Because he'd probably had hundreds and hundreds of healings by that time. Anyway, he said, "There is nothing but God." As soon as he said that, the man came up like a rocket out from underneath the rocks that had covered him up. I don't know, he could have been dead. But anyway, he came out fully alive and not a scratch on him. No damage, injury of any kind whatsoever. Wentworth Winslow raised a boy from the dead. Bicknell Young raised himself from the dead due to drowning. Mary Baker Eddy raised from the dead. So there are some Christian Scientists that have raised people from the dead, which is the ultimate to overcome. Mary Baker Eddy transported herself from Boston, or maybe it was from Concord, New Hampshire, over to the west coast of California. Stayed there 2 weeks and then went back to her home. So she could transport herself. She overcame the belief of matter as a limitation. She overcame the belief of mortal mind being the thing that controls the body. She reappeared after she passed on to the people in her home. Much like Jesus when he resurrected himself. So, getting back to the topic, deny the evil and affirm the truth. And then give, give, give. Suppose you spent your life 18 hours a day, 7 days a week, and your own money doing something really good for humanity. And suppose there were thousands and thousands of people that visited the website. Obviously, they must be gaining something from it, they think, or they wouldn't keep going back. Because we have a record of when people go to the website and their URL, their ID of their computer and everything. Well, not of their computer, but a little bit about their computer, like the browser they use and their address for that is linked to that computer and so forth. It's called an IP address. It's internet protocol. It's like having an address for your house. If you access the internet, your computer has to have an identifying number. So, you know, we have a lot of people that are the same people that come back. Some people have told us that's the first thing they do every day is go to the website and see the new things that we've put up since the prior day. And yet, rarely does anybody give anything. The Bible says we should tithe, and tithe means tenth part. Now, it's my view that we should broaden that and not just think about money. If we're going to study, are we going to give any time to studying? To me, that's giving. If we walk down the street, are we going to smile? Or are we going to look grumpy? A nice, warm smile that is from your heart, that's giving. If you see a stray dog, I haven't done it recently, but I used to take a bunch of food with me and throw it to stray dogs that were on the street. Boy, they came to me immediately. I was driving a scooter, and they recognized it, and they came to me immediately whenever I came in the area. A man came out of a department store and approached me, and he wanted money. I said, well, what do you want the money for? You look healthy? Or, you know, do you have a job, or what's the problem? Why are you asking for money? You don't look to me like you should be a beggar. You're not in a wheelchair or anything like that. You look dressed fine. Your clothes are clean. He said, well, I lost my job. Didn't have any savings. Now I don't have any money for gas for my vehicle to even look for another job. I don't have money for food. That's why I'm asking for money. So I asked him what he did. He said, I can fix anything. He said, I know electrical, plumbing, carpentry. Give me something that needs fixed and I'll fix it. Well, the short of it is that I hired him to come to my house and he worked for me for 3 months. I had a list I'd been accumulating for a long time. Couldn't find anybody to do the work. And here he was dumped in my lap. It worked out great. After the 3 months was over, he had accumulated enough money, he could go get another job. In fact, he had a job ready like the last day he was working for me. He didn't miss any time. That doesn't take much, does it? Just to ask somebody? When I don't live in California anymore, but when I lived in California, there would be people at the on-ramp of a freeway, a sign would say, I need work. You know, I presume they would do anything, you know, mow the lawn or whatever. A lot of homeless people. We don't care about them at all. We send $2 trillion over to Ukraine that is a corrupt money laundering operation, abusing children and releasing pandemic problems and everything else, but we don't take care of our own. We have an open border. We let everybody come in. We have 25 million people, it's estimated, that are illegals, but we don't take care of our own. I don't know how many we have of our own, but we could very well have 25 million unemployed people that are desperate. 25 million people is enough to fill up our 9 largest cities. You know what they are. New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, Miami. You know, the capital of some of the most populated states. Yeah, the 9 largest have a population of about 25 million combined. That means that the illegals in this country could fill up the 9 largest cities if there was no one else even living there. That's pathetic. That's pathetic. We should be praying like Mary Baker Eddy did. She prayed for all humanity 3 times a day. She stopped what she was doing 3 times a day and prayed for all humanity. We could pray for the homeless. We could pray for the injured veterans that were in these corrupt wars. All man-made. Every war is man-made. There's a political reason. It's a money laundering operation for the industrial military complex, as President Eisenhower stated back in 1958 as he was leaving, or maybe it was 1960, when he was leaving as president, two-term president, he said that that's what America needs to be concerned about, the industrial military complex. That means all the people that are making the machines for war. They're all corrupt. And you don't think they're corrupt? Russia has the most powerful military and the most nuclear weapons and the most advanced equipment in the world. And their budget is something like, I don't know, 5% of what the American budget is for military. Yeah, our military budget is something like 20 times what it is for Russia. And they're the ones that have the most nuclear weapons and the most advanced equipment. Do you know that they are the ones that used to launch our missiles into space? Yeah, we hired Russia to do it. We didn't have the technology. We didn't know how to do it. They built our missiles for us. No, it wasn't NASA. That was all a show. It was Russia. That's why a lot of the astronauts that go up with our astronauts are Russians. Yeah, they're supposed to be our enemies. They're not our enemies. They're our friends. They are the most cultured country in the world. We used to be, but that's long lost. They're the most cultured. We have friends that go over there multiple times a year. They can be walking down the street and can't find what they're looking for, so they'll stop and knock on a door. And the people will invite them in as a friend, like they were a relative. She said they've never seen, this happened to be a single woman, she said she's never seen anybody more friendly. You want to start a new Christian church over there? A Christian Science Church or any other Christian church? It's the easiest place in the world to do it. Are you worried about G5? You don't have to be. Putin got rid of all of them and everybody that was involved in installing them. How about the pandemic? He got rid of all the doctors. How about corrupt banks? He got rid of the Rothschilds banks. Yeah, cleaned them out. They're gone. The only country in the world that got rid of the pandemic, got rid of the G5, and got rid of the corrupt doctors. And he went into Ukraine to get rid of child trafficking, pedophilia, Satanism, bioweapon labs, gun running, money laundering, you name it. Cloning factories. Yep. The President Zelensky is an actor. He's not even supposed to be there. His term expired and he just never left. He never left because our corrupt CIA, he's a puppet for him. Whatever they say, he does. The CIA has gotten billions and billions of dollars, hundreds of billions, through the money laundering. Congress votes money to send to Ukraine. Ukraine money launders it, gives it back to the CIA, FBI, all of our corrupt organizations. And, of course, they keep a goodly share of it over there for all of their top corrupt people. Okay, so we've got to find the evil. We have to deny that it has any power. We have to find the truth that is the exact opposite of the evil and claim that as being what is true. And we have to give generously of everything. I mean, we have talents. We have assets. We have, I'm sure everybody has clothing that they're not using. Clothing and shoes and probably things from the kitchen. And, you know, does anyone have a garage? A lot of people have garages that are stacked full of stuff that they're not using. Maybe it would be helpful to somebody else. How about your time? How much time are you giving to help somebody else? They have these big brother organizations or big sister organizations where you can spend time with an orphan, be their parent or their friend or whatever. How about animals? Animal shelters. Do you take stray dogs to an animal shelter? Or you just let them roam the street? There is so much we can do if we let our imagination do a little creative work. But do we do it? I don't know. We get very little in donations. People go there all the time, but no, they don't give anything. They don't click on the donation. They don't call us. They don't send a check. They don't do anything. Yeah, most people do nothing. They only want to take. Take, take, take. They think the golden rule is, the more I take, the more I will gain. I'm not complaining. I'm just telling you that the Bible says to give. You know, there was a woman that gave one mite. I don't know what a mite is, but it must be maybe like a penny or something. And Jesus said that what she gave is more valuable than anyone else, because she gave all she had. Are we giving anything? When we give away clothes, do we only give away trash? Stuff that ought to go in the dumpster? Or do we give things that are our favorite clothes? If we want to give, we should give away good stuff, not trash. If we sell a car, we should have that thing in perfect condition when we sell it. Don't sell it because it's a problem. You just want to have someone else have your problem. Think of the golden rule. If you buy something, do you want to buy a bunch of trouble? Or do you want to buy something that's in good repair? If you don't give, don't expect to get anywhere in studying. You're wasting your time. Wasting your time. Bliss Knapp had a mother who came to a tragic death when he was only a young boy. I don't know. 7 or 8, 9 years old, I guess. Mary Becquerady raised him. She took him under her wing and she raised him. His father was Ira Knapp, and he was one of the first lecturers for Mary Becquerady. And that was in a time when it was difficult. They didn't have airplanes and, you know, fast public transportation or individual cars or anything else. You know, it was horse and buggy and that kind of stuff back around 1875 or 80. Yeah. And they were trying to cover the whole United States. So she took him under her wing. And when he passed on, how much money do you think he had? $400 million. Was he ever in the investment business? No. Did he spend a lot of time on investments? None. Because of his dedication to Christian Science and giving, he was led to invest in real estate in California. You know, he was living in the Boston area or New Hampshire. He was led to invest in California when he was a young man, which would have been probably around 1900, 1910 or whatever. And he held it for 40 or 50 years. I don't know how much he invested. He could have been $1,000 or $2,000. It's worth $400 million. Yeah. 40 or 50 years, 60 years, worth $400 million. And when he gave it away, he gave it to the mother church, and they had to comply with one condition, because they totally divorced Mary Baker Eddy from her discovery. They took her picture out of the book as soon as the day she passed on, and they republished the book without her picture. The day she passed on. Can you believe that? When you separate the discovery and the discoverer, you lose the effectiveness of the discovery, because that's a part of the discovery. The individual's life is a part of the discovery, not the first thing they did. So why do you think the number of churches, of Christian Science churches, has gone down almost to zero? Because they separated Mary Baker Eddy from her discovery. And they tried to control the population of the Christian Science movement illegally against the manual of the Mother Church. Totally against the manual. So it went down to zero, almost zero. A big city like LA or New York, they used to have 40 or 50 churches. Look it up. It's in the current journal. I don't know. There probably are 5 out of 50. A lot of areas don't have any church. A lot of churches have now become societies because they don't qualify for a church, because they don't have the money to have a reading room. Yeah. Well, that's what happens. That's what happens. When you separate the discoverer from the discovery, you're stealing, or you're trying to steal the discovery. You're plagiarizing the work. And the people out there in the churches, they're like a bunch of sheep. They don't think, they don't read. It's very clear in the manual that the board of directors of the Mother Church is violating almost every page of rules in the manual. And people don't pay attention to what it says. They don't have the authority to have classes for teachers, to have classes for practitioners. They have basically no authority. Their authority is restricted to the one church in Boston, and it's designed to be for the people that live in Boston, in the vicinity of the church, period. But what do? They reach out with their tentacles and try to control the whole world. And what happened? It's lost. When you violate the rules of the universe, you lose the power that comes with those rules. Well, that's the opposite of giving, giving, giving. They encourage churches that have a small population to sell their church and give the money to the mother church. They receive millions and millions and millions of dollars every year from people selling their churches and giving the money to the mother church. It's like giving it to the devil. The members are the one that own the church, not the mother church. Mother Church doesn't own anything except that one little church which was given to him, or big church, that was given to him by Mary Baker Eddy. Yeah, she owned the land. She owned all the land for the publishing society and everything else. And all they did was take, take, take. The board of directors, take, take, take. Take, take, take. Well, that's not the way it works. The formula for healing is deny the evil, affirm the truth, and give, give, give. Solomon didn't take. He devoted his life to being just to the people, and they loved him. As the Queen of Sheba said when she visited him, she said, "You have much more than your wealth. Everybody here is happy." Sam Walton knew the formula. He gave, gave, gave. Take anything back anytime for any reason and you get your money back, or you can exchange it for something else. Your choice. We will never try to interfere with your right to get your refund. But that's different now, because people abused it. They're corrupt. They would keep a computer for 4 or 5 years and then take it back, get their money back, and buy a new computer for half the price. Yep, they abused it. So it's a different story now. People don't abide by the golden rule. They burn themselves. Look in the mirror. Point to yourself, and you got the thumb pointing back at you. Yep, that's the bottom line. Take, take, take. And what you're going to do is fail, fail, fail. You have to do all these things. You have talent. How about being a volunteer teacher? Volunteer substitute teacher. Our education system is in shambles. You know anything about teaching? Are you a retired teacher? You ought to get involved in helping people that are in need. Tutoring them for free. Give, man, give. Don't take. Don't be passive. Don't just sit in a rocking chair when you're 65 years old or 62 or whatever. Give. Give of yourself. Love, love, love is giving. Hate is not giving. Are you going to hate people or are you going to love people? There is no in between. There is no gray area. It's one or the other. Which one are you going to be? Are you going to be a hater or are you going to be a giver? Taking is hating. Giving is loving. If there's an accident, what do you do? Do you treat the situation in your own consciousness right there on the spot? If you're driving, do you pull over to the side of the road and treat it immediately? Someone's life may be dependent upon how you're thinking about that accident. If you're in a building and it's on fire, do you take action? You can't sit there and pray. You got to take action. Get the people out of there. Help. Give, give, give. Yes, put your own self at risk to help others. How about veterans? Man, they thought they were fighting for some good cause. All they're doing is in a money laundering operation. Some of them are waking up, realizing now that they lost their hand or their arm or their foot or their leg. There's quadriplegics around that lost both arms and both legs. I mean, it's pathetic. All these politicians, they put all these young men out there on the front line, but no, they wouldn't do anything like that. They wouldn't go there. They wouldn't fight. They want you to fight so they can get money under the table from the manufacturers of all the war machine. You know, the airplanes and the ammunition and guns. And you know, they're paying contractors $100 an hour for the people that our military gets probably $15 an hour for. Yeah. I met one time a few years ago. He said he was waiting on a phone call to be hired by BlackRock. Yeah, he was going to earn $100 an hour. His regular work, I think he earned $20 an hour. But no, he earns $100 an hour. That's our tax dollars. Our tax dollars are paying him $100 an hour. And you know what his job was? He was an expert at it, but you know what his job was? Protecting the life of a criminal that was running the country. Yeah, that's what his job was. They don't protect their own president's life, but they'll go over and protect the life of a corrupt dictator. He couldn't wait to get over there to do it so he could earn all this money. In fact, I think that's wrong. I think it was $150 an hour he was getting paid. BlackRock. Corrupt from beginning to end. All tied into the industrial military complex. Well, Trump is in the process, or he's already taken a lot of these people down. Okay, well, you know the formula. Now, if you read the book from Helen Wright called Your Divinity Revealed, chapters 4 to 10, each one devotes itself to one of the seven terms for God. We teach the system that it talks about on page 146 in these recordings. And just to give you a quick example, intelligence is one of the qualities of mind, as you might guess. You have to be intelligent when you're doing your seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling. Intelligence is mind, but seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling is soul, because that's the way we identify things. It's soul. It's spiritual sense. How about life? Are you using intelligence in the way you live your life? How about truth? Are you building a building? Are you using intelligence in the way you're doing your measuring and your engineering and your architectural work, whatever function you have in the building? Are you using intelligence? Or are you sloppy? Well, intelligence is a quality of God. It's a quality of mind. How about loving? Are you intelligent in the way you love? Or are you just sensual? You're just interested in, you know, a materialistic emotion. Or do you want a lasting love? That's intelligence. And you can do the same thing with every word that defines what God is, because it networks with all the other qualities. And it's up to you. You can be lazy and be a failure, or you can be alert and be a success. You can deny the error, the evil, the devil, and affirm the truth, and give, 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 or you can leave one of those three things out and be a failure. It's up to you. You make the decision. You have to work out your own salvation. We will teach you how to do it, but you have to do it. If you really want to learn Christian Science and you really want to advance spiritually, then you should record everything you read. You should write it in your own words, or record it in your own words, what it means to you, including any notes, any thoughts that come to your thought. And when you get done with the entire textbook and you're back and you're down at the end of page 700, then go to the beginning and start all over. Think about the seriousness that is in those first three quotes before you ever get to the preface or the table of contents. It says, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." That's from Jesus, and it's quoted by John in the Gospel of John. The second one is by Shakespeare. "There is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so." One of the greatest geniuses, Frederick L. Rawson, that I mentioned, he said Christian Science is the science of right thinking. Well, Shakespeare said it 500 years ago. Okay? And the third quote is from Mary Baker Eddy. It says, "Oh, thou hast heard my prayer." She's talking to God. "Oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. That is thy high behest, thou here and everywhere. And what is our prayer? It says in the Bible we're supposed to pray without ceasing. What is our prayer? Our prayer is how we are living our life. Every moment of the day, we are living a prayer. Are you proud of it? Are you living a prayer of spirit or of matter? Good or evil? Sensual or spiritual? Enlightenment or passive nothingness? It's up to you. What do you want your future to be? I'm very grateful for every inspiration that I received in this recording as I was leaving my thought open to extemporaneous thoughts. For all the Bible characters that I've learned from and have inspired me. For Mary Baker Eddy and all of the advanced students of Christian Science that have written books that I've learned from. For what Mary Baker Eddy suffered as she was climbing the ladder of spiritual progress and fighting all the people that were attacking her day in and day out. She gave everything. She did everything. I'm very grateful for everyone that had a part in what little spiritual advancement I've been able to gain through my lifetime. There's only one real God, and that's the God as defined by Mary Baker Eddy. I'm so grateful. Nothing can dilute the truth that is in this recording. Nothing can deflect it, stop it, or reverse it. It's always true. It stands forever. And it helps anyone who has their thought open to the truth that is being said. Thank you, dear Father, Mother, God. Amen.